All right, let's all stand. Welcome to the Wednesday evening service. We're going to sing Dwelling in Beulah Land.
Far away the noise of strife on my ear is falling. Then I know the sins of earth be set on every hand. Down in fear and things of earth in vain to me are calling. None of these shall move me from Beulah Land. I'm living on the mountain underneath the cloudless sky. I'm drinking at the fountain that never shall run dry. Oh yes, I'm feasting on the manna from the moon supply, for I am dwelling in Beulah Land. Far below the storms of doubt on the world is beating. Sons of men in battle long the enemy withstand. Of God's word retreating, nothing then can reach me. His Beulah Land. I'm living on the mountain underneath a cloudless sky. I'm drinking at the fountain that never shall run dry. Oh yes, I'm feasting on the manna from a bountiful supply, for I am dwelling in Beulah Land. Hearing here the works of God, I sink in contemplation. Hearing now His blessed voice, I see the way He plans. Dwelling in the Spirit here, I learn a full salvation. Gladly will I tarry. Sing it out. I'm living on the mountain underneath the cloudless sky. I'm drinking at the fountain that never shall run dry. Oh yes, I'm feasting on the manna from a bountiful supply, for I am dwelling in Beulah.
Good to see you here this evening. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, we ask you to meet with us as we do every service. We ask again that you be with the rest of the singing, the one doing the special. And Lord, I ask for your power during the preaching. Be with our folks at home sick, and be with the people still getting here. Get them here safely in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
By the way, anybody know what Beulah means? Dwelling in Beulah Land? Married. That's right, means married. All right. Anyway, we're going to sing Like a River Glorious. And by the way, guys up in front, the screen out here doesn't work on the back. I'm glad these two work, though.
Like a river glorious is God's perfect peace. Over all victorious in its pride increase. Perfect and it floweth fuller every day. Perfect yet it groweth deeper all the way. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as He promised perfect peace and rest. Hidden in the hollow of His blessed hand, never foe can follow, never foe can stand. touch the Spirit there. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as He promised, perfect peace and rest.
My wife was preaching to me in the car on the way here. You know, wives can preach really well. Tell me, no matter what's going on in the world, Jesus, He's still King. He's still on the throne. It's all right. So anyway, here we go.
Every joy or trial falleth from above, traced upon our dial by the Son of Love. We may trust Him fully, all for us to do. They who trust Him fully find Him wholly true. Stained upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as He promised, perfect peace and rest.
When he said that, it reminded me, I was going to read you something off of, someone had put something on, I don't usually even look at Facebook, but someone had told me about something on Facebook today, so I looked at it. So Mr. AI, have you got a microphone with you? Let's start with Mr. AI, and if I can find this, I'll read it to you in a minute, if I can figure out how to make my phone work. All right, let's see, come over here, let's start on the other side. We'll give them time to think. All right, anyone over here on this side with a blessing? Brother Marino, let's start with the young lady down front, start with Mr. Sharp, and work your way back to Brother Marino.
Just happy to be back at church.
Amen.
Good to have the Sharps back.
I'm happy to be back at church and over this whole COVID thing.
Yeah. Yes, sir. It's good to have the Marinos
and
back,
thank
too.
Thank you for all your prayers.
Yeah, now, Brother Marino still isn't feeling real well. He's still having a sore throat and some stuff from that, so don't forget to keep him in prayer. The others have all got seem to get past it and doing okay, but he's still got some of the hangover from it, so pray for him. Anyone else in that section? All right, in this, oh, Brother Howard.
I just wanted to praise God for His perfect will. And there's some people that, you know, think, oh, no, the world's going to end. But you know what? If you're saved and you trust in the Lord, man, it's going to be bliss.
That is true. Anyone in this section here? Anyone with a blessing in the middle? Brother Mitchell?
I just want to thank God for his faithfulness. He's such a good God, amen.
Amen. Anyone else in that section? Don't want to miss anyone. Miss Nico has something, sir.
I'm just very thankful for my church family.
All right. Anyone in this section? Brother Adam?
I just want to say that I'm thankful for all the guns God blessed me with that I'm not going to give up. Amen.
We didn't ask you to. You can hang on to him. Anyone else in that section? Yes, ma'am.
I just thank the Lord I'm deep in the heart of Texas.
Yeah, me too. Well, I can't find it. Anyone else in that section? Brother Castillo, you got one with you? You always have one. I hate to miss you. All right.
I am thankful for the rain. It's a blessing.
Yes, it is good. All right. Anyone else in here? All right. Anyone over here? We gave you time to think, so we gave you time to come up with a blessing. So don't let. All right. Good to see Sean there. Good.
This rain recently has been a blessing. This rain recently has been a blessing.
I heard you.
Oh,
I was just curious how many times you're going to say it. I'm just shutting my phone back off since I couldn't find what I was looking for. All right, anyone else over there? By the way, Brother Castillo already said that. You're supposed to have some time to think of something new. So, anyone else? You got anything else, Sean?
This coming youth activity will be a blessing.
All right. Thank you, Mr. AI. Thank you, Sean. We don't have this happen very often, but it happens once in a while. Today, a young lady called. I guess I didn't shut my phone off. Probably Charlie or Sean. They put it restricted, so I couldn't even tell which one of the knuckleheads was calling me. I thought I'd just shut it back off. They're only so helpful. I had a lady call today, and she was asking us. She said she got our name out of the revival fires. She has a sister named Julie Roberts. Now, I put it on the prayer chain, but I know a lot of you aren't on the prayer chain. She has a sister named Julie Roberts that when she went into the doctor, she went in for something else, and the doctor, then after seeing all the symptoms, thinks she has cancer, thinks it's stage 4, either in her kidneys or her lungs. They found some spots. They're going to do some tests. The young lady that was asking us to pray for her sister asked us to pray that it's not cancer. If it is cancer, that God will let it be contained in the kidneys so that they can do surgery. So if you'll just pray for Julie Roberts, and the young lady, again, she was just calling every church she could find. She said that she believes in the power of prayer, and by the way, so do we. So she was wanting to call everybody that she could get to pray for her sister. Talking about praying for folks, don't forget to pray for the Hausers. Mrs. Hauser had eye surgery. I didn't know that until I talked with the Hauser a few days ago, but she had eye surgery last week, so she's recovering from that. And Brother Hauser is having rehab twice a week for his stuff, the physical stuff that he has. Brother Yala, I had a couple appointments. I can't remember what day I talked to him, either Monday or Tuesday. He had a couple appointments that day, and the doctor told him to stay in until they gave him the clearance to go. So he said he's wanting to get back to church, misses you guys, to tell you hi, but was stuck because the doctor told him to wait till he gave him the okay. Brother Sanders is still having some stomach issues, doing better, but don't forget to keep him in prayer. Mrs. Price, the surgery was put off. It was scheduled for Monday morning. It was put off. I believe it's next week. I'll find out more details and give those to you when I get that, but I believe it's put off till next week. Don't forget, I put some of these on the back table, on the back couch. It is from Brother Garraway's. The front will be Receding America, but it's Brother Garraway's plan. And again, as I mentioned Sunday, if you read the 6 chapters a day, you'll read the New Testament 4 times, the Old Testament twice, Psalms 4 times, and Proverbs 12 times. You read Proverbs every month. By the way, that's a good thing to do. That way it gets wisdom. None of us ever have too much wisdom. But that is the plan that's back there. So there's one that where you read the Bible through in a year and you read 4 chapters a day, you'll get done before the year's out. And that plan is back there, and then this other one as well. So please pick that up, make it available to you. Don't forget the stuff going on this week. Tomorrow night, 6:45 for soul winning. Friday night, we'll be leaving at 6 to go to Texas Baptist. If you meet us over there, we'll be there about 6:30. We need to bring the drinks, so either bring a 6-pack, a 12-pack of soda, or some water. We'll have ice chests and put them in the ice chest, but they're supplying the food and we're supplying the drinks as usual. We'll play some volleyball. And again, as I mentioned, you don't have to be good at volleyball to play volleyball. You don't have to be good at volleyball to enjoy playing volleyball. It is more about the fellowship. Usually the first game they have their church play against us. We beat them really badly, then we split up teams and play after that. So that's the typical rule of thumb that we have over there. And some years sometimes they don't even have enough people to play the first game, so we just split them up from the very beginning. But we just mix teams. And if we have enough for 3 teams, we'll just have 2 teams play. The winner stays on, the other team comes on, and we'll rotate that way. So everybody will get to play. I mentioned this the other day, but I'll mention it a time or two between now and then. There is no Valentine's banquet this year for the adults and stuff with Brother Ross. He'll be coming that Sunday, speaking for Sunday morning and Sunday night. So we'll start taking the offerings on Wednesday night for that so that we can be a blessing to him. But because of the COVID, and again, it's pretty hard if you can't sit close in fellowship with the Valentine's banquet. Kind of takes all the joy out of the Valentine's banquet. We wasn't sure if we could get a facility that let us come in because they base it. And again, if we scheduled it and then they canceled on us, we don't have any control over that. So that has been canceled for this year. Don't forget, then Saturday, so went in at 9:45 or 9:30 for the buses, 10:45 for others. And then Sunday morning church, Sunday school at 9:45, church at 10:50. This will be January the 29th, which is a week from this Friday. Seniors will be babysitting on Friday. So if you would like to have a date night, the cost is $20 per family, then $1 per child for extra. So if you have 4 kids, it'll cost you $24 for the babysitting from 6 to 9. They'll babysit, feed the kids pizza, entertain them, and take care of them. And that will be the seniors and then myself and then some of the other parents as well. So there'll be seniors. The 3 seniors will be here. If you can make reservations with either Daniel, Talia, or Stephen, they'd appreciate that. Let us know who's coming. That way we also can know how much pizza to order. But we will babysit and entertain your children, keep them out of trouble. If you just don't even want to go on a date, you just want to come drop them off, go back home, and enjoy some quiet time, you can do that too. You don't even have to go. Sometimes, I don't have that problem now. Our house is quiet all the time. Back when the kids was around, sometimes just peace and quiet was a good thing for a couple hours. So And again, if you want us to take care of your husband or wife, it'll cost you extra. But, I mean, the kids is what we're covering. If you're throwing a husband or wife, the price goes up. We will do that next Friday night.
I was just thinking that. How much would they charge for a husband? Because I'm sure some of the wives would like to drop all their children off. Anyway, all right, let's all stand. Make me a blessing.
Out in the highways and byways of life, many are weary and sad. Carry the sunshine where darkness is rife, making the sorrowing glad. Make me a blessing. Make me a blessing out of my life. May Jesus shine. Make me a blessing. Oh, Savior, I pray. Make me a blessing to someone today. Tell a sweet story of Christ and His love. Tell of His power to forgive. Make me a blessing out of my life. May Jesus shine. Make me a blessing. Oh, Savior, I pray. Make me a blessing to someone today. Given to you in your need, love as the Master loved you. Be to the helpless a helper indeed, unto your mission be true. Make me a blessing, make me a blessing out of my life. Make me a blessing, oh Savior, I pray. Make me a blessing to someone today.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your privilege of being back in your house tonight. Bless those that are sick this morning, raise them up. Bless this offering, we ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, we're going to try something new tonight. I don't know if we've ever sang the song before. God be with you till we meet again. God be with you till we meet again. By his counsel, God uphold you. With his sheep and curly fold you. God be with you till we meet again. Till we meet at Jesus' feet. God be with you till we meet again. God be with you till we meet again. Neath his wings protecting hide you. Daily manna still provide you. God be with you till we meet again. Till we meet at Jesus' feet. God be with you till we meet again. God be with you till we meet again. Keep love's banner floating o'er you. Smite death's threatening way before you. God be with you till we meet again.
About you.
have a heavenly Father above, with eyes full of mercy and a heart full of love. He really cares when your head is bowed low. Consider the lilies, and then you will know. He really cares when your head is bowed low. Consider the lilies, and then you will know.
Let's go to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 this evening is where we'll start. Unlike Roy and a couple others, Brother Taylor and Brother Nichols, this is the first time I've got to preach in 2021. So my sermon tonight is titled, Put 2020 Behind You. And I'll talk about a few of the things tonight that, for that reason. Notice Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. It says, Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, and I notice the next phrase, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now again, we often use that phrase where he says, I press toward the mark. By the way, it's important for us to have goals. Brother Vineyard used to tell us in Bible college to set goals, and by the way, he always told us to aim high. He said he'd rather we aimed high and missed that high mark than to shoot for a short mark and get that. He used to tell us it's better to shoot. I don't remember if it was the moon or the stars, but shoot for the moon or the stars. And if you hit it, I don't remember which one's the farthest away, the stars or the moon? Stars. So shoot for the stars. And if you hit the moon, that's a lot better than shooting for the, now not this ceiling, because this ceiling is much taller, but a regular ceiling is 8 foot tall or 10 foot tall. He says it's a lot better to shoot for the stars and hit the moon than to shoot for the ceiling and hit that. You say, well, I reached my goal when I shot for the ceiling. Yeah, but you only shot for 8 foot. A lot better to shoot. If you shoot for the stars and you hit the moon, again, that's a lot of miles up there. So again, set your goals high. We ought to always look for, and again, being the new year, there's usually some, now more people probably set goals when it comes to their weight or their finances or something else, but being a church, we want you to set some spiritual goals. You ought to have some spiritual goals this year that you set for yourself. And realize, by the way, if you didn't reach your goals last year, whether it's reading your Bible through or whether it's winning a certain number of souls, whether it's being to church, so many services or things like that. If you didn't reach that last year, put that behind you. Set a goal for this year and work for this year. So that's what we want to look at. Notice also Proverbs chapter 27, verse 1. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 1 says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Now, the only thing we are sure that we have is today. And so today we ought to live for the Lord to the fullest that we possibly can. Tomorrow if we wake up, and we're still breathing and still kicking, we ought to work hard to do the best we can that day and every day thereafter that you and I are alive. But again, what Paul said was, I'm putting some stuff behind me. So that's what I want to speak about tonight. Put 2020 behind you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I ask you as I do every service to speak to me. Use me. Take glory for the message and help it to be a blessing and help them to someone. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, again, I'll try to cover some ground quickly. The thing I was going to try to read to you off of Facebook, it wasn't something this fellow had came up with anyway. But what he said, and again, a lot of Christians today and folks like me are kind of, it was kind of a depressing day because this was the last day for the president that I enjoyed and liked was in office. And the one that I'm not real wild about is now taking office. But as this person said, Biden was the fella I voted for, but he's my president. And the reason he's my president, because he's United States president, and I'm a United States citizen. So I will pray for him. I will hope he succeeds. Now, I don't think that he will, but I hope he succeeds because, if he succeeds, it means America succeeds. I'm an American, so I'm not going to whine and cry and complain. Only thing I can do is in a few months or a short time in the future when we get a chance to vote again to change some of the folks in the elected office, we should do all that we can to do that. But it doesn't do us any good to sit around and gripe and complain and cry about something that I mean, again, now, I was a big believer and still am, that if they'd counted the votes correctly, the election would have been different than the way it is. So you're not going to change my mind about that. If you want to come and argue with me about church, I will do what I do to anyone else when you do that. I would just simply go, but because my mind's pretty well made up. Now, I'm not always convinced about everything, but I'm convinced about that. I really do believe again, if this had been on the other shoe, we'd have had a lot more screaming and hollering and kicking and fussing. But that's just life. And by the way, as the old saying my dad used to say, life goes on. So, again, putting 2020 behind you. The first thing we want to think about is the victories or failures of last year need to be put behind you. Now, you had some failures. You say, how do you know that? Because everybody does. We don't succeed all the time. The truth is, I asked the kids one time, now the Spurs last year did not have a winning season. But typically, the Spurs have a winning season. Now, if the Spurs have a winning season, does that mean they won every game? And the answer to that is no. What it means is they won more games than they lost. Now, there are times, even some of the teams that have the greatest, I mean, some of the greatest seasons ever, guess what? There's never been a team, and I don't remember how many games they play, 80-something or 88, no matter how great the team is, there's never been a team that's won every game, ever. Is there? I saw Mr. Wallace shake his head, and I'm thinking maybe I was in. But now, I remember years ago, it was either the Lakers or someone else. I mean, they only lost like 7 or 8 or 9 games. I mean, it was very few, but they still had some. Now, by the way, usually when they get beat, they'd get beat by a bad team. They'd get beat by a team that had a losing record, not a good team. I don't know if it's just because they let down that game, and sometimes it's because they set players out. But the truth is, whether you had victories or failures last year, that's nice. But now we're in this year. We're in 2020. And what we want to do is make sure that we accomplish something in 2021. Now, the failures of yesterday need to be lessons learned so that we don't repeat them. Brother Nicholas has often said, if we don't learn from our failures, from our history, it will repeat itself. Notice Proverbs 24, verse 16. Now, I like Proverbs 24, verse 16 because it encourages me. It encourages me because here's what it says. For a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. Now, notice that phrase, the just man falleth 7 times. What it means is you can be a good person. You can be a just person. You can be a right person. And you know what you're still going to do? Fall. So if you fall, you know what you need to do? Now, again, if you fall and stay down, that's not what the Bible encourages you to do. And you're not ever going to get patted on the back for that. And God's never going to be proud of you for that. What he says is when you fall, get back up. Because he said the righteous man falleth 7 times and riseth up again. Now, when I said failures of yesterday need to be lessons learned, if you keep repeating the same thing, I'm sorry, I don't usually use this word very often. You're just stupid. Yeah. You're just dumb. You say, Brother Locke, if you do it, yes, if I do it, if I just keep doing the same thing and I keep failing and failing, doing the same thing, I'm stupid. The old saying is that the donkey kissed me once, he's the donkey. Donkey kissed me twice, I'm the donkey. I mean, it means, now, listen to me. If you walk behind the donkey the first time and he kicks the crap out of you and you walk behind him again, you know what? You're the dummy, not the donkey. I mean, the donkey's just doing what donkeys do. By the way, that's why even if you have a horse that knows you, my wife has a horse named Mundo. When I walk behind it, I don't ever walk behind it without talking to it. I usually put my hand on its hip as I go by. Now, I've never been kicked by a horse. I've been kicked by a bull a time or two and a couple cows, but I've never been kicked by a horse. Don't want to be kicked by a horse. We want to make sure that the failures we had, and we had some failures. There were some things we messed up last year, whether it's in your marriage, whether it's in your finances, whether it's in your spiritual life, whether it's in something else. You had some things that you didn't do you messed up. You failed. I failed. We need to make sure that we learn from those so we don't repeat them. Proverbs 9:9 says, give instruction to a wise man. You know what happens? He will be yet wiser. Now, he's already wise. He gets some instruction. You know what? He becomes wiser. And he gets some more instruction and he becomes wiser. Now, it is important for you to understand, no matter how wise you are today, and hopefully when we get older, usually the Bible says that when we get older and we get this gray hair, some wisdom comes with it. That isn't always true, but it's supposed to. So what it means is we've learned, we've made mistakes, and we've learned. We made mistakes, and we've learned. We made mistakes, and we learned. We listened to somebody. By the way, we didn't make that mistake because we listened to somebody, and they kept us from making that mistake. You don't always have to test it out. I don't have to touch the hot stove to know it's hot. Someone can tell me it's hot. Or I can see someone else touch the hot stove and get burnt, and I say to myself, note to self, don't touch the stove, that's not smart. Okay? But again, we want to make sure that we don't repeat our failures. Our victories or failures of the last year need to be put behind us. The victories of yesterday do not assure victories for tomorrow. Again, last year, the Spurs did not do so well. I've often said if our dear coach had stayed out of politics, maybe that would have been better. I wasn't too impressed with his views of politics. I like him as a coach. I don't like him when it comes to his politics. But the truth is, I used to tell folks he'd stick to coaching, maybe the Spurs would do better. But they also just didn't have the same players that they had. But again, understand, they'd been in the playoffs for 20-some years, every season. I mean, they were expected to be in the playoffs. Last year, they wasn't. You know what? Their past victories, the fact that they had been a great team, didn't make them a great team last year. Last year, they weren't that great. Now, I didn't watch them last year because they, all that stuff with the Black Lives Matter stuff, I quit watching. And again, I really like the Spurs, and I really like basketball. That was about the only thing I watched very much of. But when they started doing the bowing and or the kneeling during the pledge and then some of the other stuff, I just quit watching it. But understand, their victories or your victories or my victories from the past do not guarantee victories in the future. Notice Joshua in your Bibles. Joshua in your Bible is probably the best example of this. Joshua chapter 6, verse 20. So the people shouted with the priest when the priest blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet and the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. That was one of the hardest cities probably to ever conquer, the Battle of Jericho. Walls that they said were so thick that they could have chariot races on top the walls. So thick. I mean, again, you could have battered on them with rocks and stones for months. And again, say, how did God fix it? He had them walk around. And then the seventh day walked around seven times and then blew some trumpets and hollered and the walls fell down flat. And a great victory was won. But by the way, that victory didn't stain over into the next victory or into the next battle. Because the very next battle, if you notice Joshua chapter 7, verse 1, but the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And here's what happens sometimes. We get a victory, and what happens after a victory, if we're not careful, we get full of ourselves. We disobey. We start doing our own thing. We expect that the fact that we won before, we're going to keep winning. They did not. Notice verse 5. And the men of Ai smote of them about 30 and 6 men, for they chased them from before the gate, even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down, wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. I mean, they had just accomplished a great victory, and now they faced a terrible defeat. A defeat that wasn't just in loss of life, but it was also a loss in pride. By the way, your pride or a state's pride or a country's pride or a person's pride is very important to people. It is nice to have pride in something. And again, they were pretty full of themselves. I mean, they had just conquered Jericho. But because of the fact that Ai had sinned, they lost. Because of the fact that Achan had sinned, they lost at the Battle of Ai. A small town, a little town, a town that should have been an easy victory. The truth is they didn't even take all the soldiers because they didn't think they'd need all of them. Because they did so great in the battle before. And by the way, that happens to Christians many times after a great victory, after a big day, or after a big event, or after something great has happened in our lives. We have the tendency to let down, and then we have a defeat. So again, victories of yesterday do not assure victories of tomorrow. The third thing underneath that is failures of yesterday can be turned into success. Notice again, if you're still in Joshua chapter 7, notice verse 10. And the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up. Wherefore liest thou that was upon thy face? Up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, for thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until ye take away the accursed thing from among them. By the way, figure out why you lost. I used to coach sports for years, and we start the school year with soccer, and then we played basketball, and then we used to play softball. And the girls played volleyball and cheerleaded. And I used to coach the boys' sports. I've coached a lot of games, and after every loss, I would go over it and over it in my mind. My kids said they always hated riding home with me in the car because I would be telling them all the things that I wish I had done, all the things I wish they had done, and all the things that we could have done to change the fact because I hated to lose. Now, I found as I got older, I don't worry near as much about it now. I mean, and Brother Taylor mentioned I used to always want to win, and I did. By the way, I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. I think it's good that again, people who don't mind losing usually don't win very much. They don't. You really ought to hate to lose. Now, by the way, you ought to be a good sport when you lose. Now, when I say that, nice of them, then you go home and you kick and fuss and throw, but I mean nice in public because you want to keep your testimony. I hated to lose, so I would play it over and over in my mind. I would look at all the free throws we missed, or I'd look at the shots we missed, or I'd remember I should have did this, or I wish I had taken that guy out, or put this person in, or put someone guarding that guy, change the defense, or change the offense, or put on a full-court press. I would go over and over in my mind how I could have changed it to win. Now, again, what he said is, get up, put that thing behind you. Notice chapter 8, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee. Now, last time they only took part of the group, and that was their decision. God says, take all the people of war with thee, and arise and go up to Ai. And he says this, see, I have given unto you the hand of the king of Ai and his people and his city and his land. He said, things will be different this time. Now, you say, what made them different? Because they learned from their failure. You say, what was their failure? They had someone that disobeyed God. And by the way, when we disobey God, we cannot expect God's blessing. God doesn't promise to bless us when we disobey. God promises to bless us when we obey. When you think of the child's, when you think of Ephesians chapter 6 and that promise of long life, it doesn't say, children, disobey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. Again, they don't get long life and blessings for disobedience. They get long life and blessings for obedience, and by the way, for honoring their parents. The same is true when we disobey God. We can't expect God to bless us when we disobey. When we go against His Word, when we go against the Word of God, when we go against the Word of the leaders that God has put over us, we can't expect God to bless us. Again, we want to make sure if we made a mistake, we get it right. I really believe that part of America's problem is a spiritual problem, a problem from the churches, a problem from Christians. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, we often quote, and here's what it says, if my people, again, talking to us, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Now, he's saying, now, Brother Block, the wickedness, there's a lot of wickedness out there. Yes, there is. There's also a lot of wickedness in here. And by the way, we need to quit worrying so much about the wickedness out there that we can't do anything about and take care of the wickedness in here that we can. As Brother Nicholas has often said, what has he often said? Do what? Draw a circle around yourself and take care of all the people outside that circle. Is that what he always says? That is not what he says. If you heard that from this message, you did not listen very well. What he says is draw a circle around yourself and take care of the person inside that circle. You and I need to get as spiritual as we possibly can be. And by the way, God will then bless our nation, bless our city, bless our family, bless our church, bless our town because of us. That's how God works. He doesn't worry as much about the wicked. Again, think about when you think of Sodom and Gomorrah. Did God tell the Sodom and Gomorrah people to get right and he would save the city? That was not how it worked, by the way. It wasn't that if they got right, God would save the city. It was if Lot had won enough people to the Lord. By the way, if Lot had won his own family to the Lord, if his own kids and grandkids had been saved, and their husbands or wives, if they'd been saved, if their husbands had been saved, I mean, the city would have been saved. It wasn't based on if Sodom and Gomorrah cleaned up their act. It was based on if the Christians there were doing what they were supposed to be doing, God would have saved the city. And again, you're talking about hundreds of thousands of people for 10 people. You say, well, look, I don't have that much influence. Yes, you do. 10 people had influence over hundreds of thousands. 10. Now, there wasn't 10 there. And the truth is, a couple of the ones that were saved, I mean, they weren't right with the Lord. Truth is, I don't know if any of the folks that were saved, I don't know if any of Lot's family was right with the Lord. His wife wasn't. He wasn't. His kids were. So I don't know if anyone that was right with the Lord. But he didn't even ask if they'd be right with the Lord. He just asked if there was 10 that saved. Again, you wonder if you have influence, you do. The second thing, I said the victories and failures of last year need to be put behind us. We can't change last year. Now, again, I'd go over and over in my mind, but you know what? They don't ever get us to go back and replay. We don't ever get to go back. Now, the next time I played that team, we could do things differently. But I couldn't go back and change that game. It was over. It was done. It was finished. And guess what? I had to get over it. Because if I didn't, I was miserable. I made everyone around me miserable, too. If you're wondering today why you're miserable, it's probably because you haven't put your victories or your failures behind you. I mean, you got to start living for today. You got to start making sure today you're doing all that you possibly can for the Lord and for the things that need to be done. Second thing I said, besides the victories and failures of last year put behind you, realize COVID, and by the way, the election stuff, shouldn't rule our lives physically or spiritually. It will pass. And let me read you just a bunch of verses. You don't have time to turn. I'm just going to read them because they all have the same phrase. Genesis 12:12, therefore it shall come to pass. Exodus 12:25, and it shall come to pass. Exodus 12:26, and it shall come to pass. Deuteronomy 11:13, and it shall come to pass. Deuteronomy 28:1, and it shall come to pass. Deuteronomy 28:15, but it shall come to pass. Jeremiah 17:24, and it shall come to pass. Ezekiel 33:3, and when this cometh to pass. Again, you know what? I can tell you this. Whatever's going on today, tomorrow will be different. Maybe better, maybe worse, but the fact is, every day is a different day. So you and I need to realize, now, last year, 2020, was a tough year. Now, I am really blessed. I mean, I wasn't ever off a day from Liberty Baptist Church. I got a paycheck every week. And by the way, some of you were too. Some of you are blessed. Some of you never lost your job, never lost a paycheck. But we had people in our pews. We had people in our attendance that were out of work for several weeks. And sometimes they didn't get a paycheck. And sometimes they were worried about whether they'd ever have a job again. And some of our people still are not back to 40 hours a week and back to full employment. But again, understand, that was 2020. You say, well, Brother Block, what if 2021 is the same thing? Well, by the way, you'll just have to deal with it, but I don't think it will be. I think 2021 will be different. In some ways, it may be better. In some ways, it may be worse. But the truth is, you just have to take it day by day and realize those bad things come, and then they go, and then they come. And by the way, good things come, and then they go. They don't last forever either. It will come to pass. At one time or other, we've had terrible things or people that happened to our nation. I wrote down several of them. A lot of these I didn't even know about. I just looked it up. That's one good thing about Google. It has a lot of information that you and I don't have. In 2018, there was a wildfire in California that killed 88 people and did $16 trillion worth of damage. In 2017, Hurricane Maria hit Florida and Puerto Rico, killed 5,740 people. I mean, did almost $100 trillion damage. 2017, Hurricane Irma hit Florida, South Carolina, Georgia, and Puerto Rico, caused 134 deaths and $64 trillion worth of damage. In 2016, there was wildfire in the Great Smoky Mountains in Tennessee, killed 14 people, $990 million of damage. 2016, Hurricane Matthew hit Florida, Georgia, and the Carolinas. 49 people died, $15 trillion damage. 2015, a flood in the Carolinas killed 25. 2014, a tornado hit Nebraska, Louisiana, Oklahoma, Illinois, Florida, North Carolina, killed 35 people and $1 trillion of damage. 2013, a tornado hit just more Oklahoma. 24 people died, $2 trillion damage. I was aware of this one because some of my family was involved. In 2011, a tornado hit Joplin, Missouri, killed 160 people and did $3 trillion worth of damage. When you think of the Hurricane Katrina, hit Florida, Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama, killed 1,836 people, $125 trillion worth of damage. A heat wave. Now, you wouldn't think of a heat wave killing people, but a heat wave in 1999 killed a bunch of folks in the Midwest and the Northeast, 271. Just a heat wave in Chicago, Illinois in 1995 killed 739 people. September 11th, on that day, we had over 3,000 people killed in one day. Vietnam War, 58,000. Korean War, 37,000. World War II, and this is American deaths, not deaths overall. World War II, 405,000. World War I, 116,000. Civil War, 600 to 800,000. We've had lots of death, and we've had some bad things go on in the past. I mean, that is part of our history. And again, get that word, history. It's behind us now. Now, you say, but the block, COVID's still around. Yes, it is. First off, we know more about COVID than we knew before. They found out now it doesn't really pass very much off of surfaces. They tell you, again, we wear the mask, and they do help some, apparently. But again, most of us, the masks we wear are not all that, I mean, unless you have the really better mask. Most doctors tell you they don't accomplish a whole lot. They make us feel better, but the doctors say they don't accomplish a lot. They tell you we still should wear them, because, by the way, if you can keep one person from getting sick, especially someone who got as sick as Brother Taylor, now Brother Block didn't get that sick. But Brother Taylor got pretty sick. Brother Robert got pretty sick. I know a few of other folks got pretty sick. Some folks it affects more than others. Probably because they're just, maybe like a baby. I'm just joking. if it wasn't for Brother Robert, I'd have dwelt on that, because Brother Taylor picks on me all the time. But I didn't want to say anything, because Brother Robert's my friend, and Brother Taylor, I mean, you know, he can take it or leave it. But the truth is, we've came through some terrible things in the past. By the way, we will face some terrible times in the future. But again, keep in mind what Brother Taylor mentioned earlier, that the message is why I preached to him was what again? God's still in control. Amen. It's not like God died in 2020, that the flu didn't kill God. God didn't go on vacation. It's not like he disappeared. He's still around. He's still in control. Now, when I thought of Texas, I thought about, again, how many people have died in Bexar County. Again, in Bexar County from the COVID, we've had 2,040 deaths. Now, that's quite a few, but again, understand, if you open up the obituary on any day, there are lots of deaths every day in San Antonio. So again, death is something we're going to live with. Sometimes there's things that we can do to avoid it. By the way, if people quit smoking, quit drinking, quit doing stupid stuff, I mean, you know, I looked and there's a bunch of people killed by accidents. And by the way, some of those accidents are called dumb stuff. I mean, that's the guy, when you hear a guy say, hey, watch this, usually there's something bad going to happen. And he's usually someone 12 to 25 years old, okay? Now, if you hear an old person say that, lots of bad things are going to happen because we don't bounce very good and we break. We go boom. I mean, that's the end of it. I mean, it may take us months to recover. But the truth is, we're going to face some bad stuff. It's going to happen because it's part of life. Now, You say, Brother Block, what should I do? Well, 2021, there's some things to remember. First off, remember the election's over. Nothing we can do about that. So it doesn't do us any good to gripe and complain about it and carry on. You know what I did? I did what my dad told me I can always do. He said, don't gripe and complain unless you do what? Vote. Did I vote? You bet I did. Just joking. I didn't vote several times. Only voted 4 or 5. And that's not, I'm just joking. That's not, where I come from, that's not several. Okay? No, I'm just joking. I only voted one time. I even carried my little thing around. I wanted to put it on my shirt and show people that I voted that day. I voted, and by the way, that's all I could do. I'm allowed one vote in America. I voted one time. And again, I gave my opinion. Other people gave their opinion. And by the way, that's how America is. If there's more on one side that votes for one person than the other side, that side wins. That's the facts of life. There's been times that we've been happy and they've been sad. There's been times they've been happy and we've been sad. That's part of life. Again, put the election behind you. Put the COVID deaths and other highlights. By the way, again, go to Hebrews chapter 9. Let me hit one thing and then I'm almost done. Again, the COVID deaths and others, if anything, they highlight the need for soul winning. Now, we quit doing some soul winning because we was worried about spreading COVID and doing that. But I can tell you, us not going to see people still got sick and people still died. And some of them died without a witness or without a track. You know why? Now, again, I passed out a lot of tracks during COVID, still do. Hope you are too. I hope we empty that track rack every week. And brother, and I don't mean just put them in your purse and put them on the counter and get a big stack. I'm talking about pass them out. I mean, pass them out. Now, there are times, there's a few times during the big part of COVID that people would say, I can't take that. I'm not allowed to take anything. Now, it's amazing. They could take my money, but they couldn't take my track. I don't know. Both of them are paper, okay? I mean, so I always thought it's kind of weird. So a lot of times I would just take the paper with the track, and they didn't really have a choice because I passed them at the same time. If they was going to take the money, and they always took the money, they had to take the track. But if I gave them the money, and when they came back, I tried to offer them track, sometimes they turned me down. So the light came on. I'm a little slow, but that light came on, and I thought, okay, give them all the paper at the same time. So that's what I do. I give them the paper at the window where I pay. I give them at the paper when I pick it up. And by the way, they're giving me paper, so I give them paper back. I figure it's a fair exchange. By the way, my paper is more important than their paper. Their paper just feeds me for one meal, and I have to eat again. I give them something by the way, if they drink that water, they'll never thirst again. So you and I have to realize that if anything, the COVID deaths and other deaths that's going on in America, if anything, it's highlighted the need of us going soul winning, getting the gospel out, telling people about Jesus. And by the way, at a time when people are thinking about death, they're more likely to listen. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. The one thing you can be sure of, and some of you are worried about dying this year. And again, I'm not worried about dying because I'm going to heaven. I tell people all the time, I don't want to die. I try to, by the way, I haven't said, hey, watch this for a long time. I don't want to die. I'm not trying to die. Some of you wonder the way I drive, why I haven't died sooner than I do, but I'm even trying to drive better. But the truth is, I know one of these days I'm going to die. By the way, one of these days, I hate to be a bearer of bad news, one of these days, you're going to die too. Everyone in this room, one of these days, is going to be dead. Now, by the way, you might die of something like COVID, or you might die of an accident, or you might die of, hey, I'll watch this, which is not be too smart. I'd hate to be you when you stand before God if you did, hey, watch this, and when you stand before God. Here's what I always pictured when I used to do that. I pictured when I get to heaven after doing that stupid thing, God would just be standing there doing this. I always felt bad because I thought God's going to be standing there and he's going to be shaking his head like, really? That was about the dumbest thing you could have done. So thankfully, I don't do that stuff anymore. I don't say, hey, watch this. Now I just do it and I don't say anything. No, I'm just joking. But the truth is, we're all going to die. Everyone out there that you walk by, every person you drive by, every person you walk by, they're going to die someday. We need to make sure we get them the gospel so when they die, they're prepared to die. Because death, we can do nothing about the death, but we can help them to be ready to die. And by the way, not even be afraid to die. So remember, God's in control. Proverbs chapter 21, a verse we often quote when we talk about this. Probably the verse Mrs. Taylor was talking about when she was talking to Brother Taylor. Notice Proverbs 21, verse 1. And I reminded the kids of this. I reminded my wife of this in the last day or so. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, Proverbs 21, 1. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. Now, again, here's what he says. I don't care who's the president. I don't care who's the king. I'm still the one who runs the king. I'm still the one who runs the president. And by the way, I can make them do things just like I turn the water. If you've ever been up in an airplane, you've looked down and watched water, it don't usually run straight. I mean, it looks like someone played in the sand. And by the way, you say, who was that? That was God. He did that. He turned those rivers like that. And by the way, he said, just as I turn the rivers like that, I can turn men's hearts like that too. By the way, that's why it falls upon us. The election's over and we can't change who's in office, but we can pray for the one who's in office and pray that God changes the one who's in office their hearts to make them vote or do the right thing or not do the wrong thing. Again, that's something that we can do, just as you should vote so that you have your say-so. Now we should pray so that our God can do what's right, and we can still have a say-so through our prayer. Be faithful to church attendance. By the way, I don't care what it is. Now, after 9/11, all those were airplanes. You know what's amazing to me? Most folks, a few weeks later, they were scared at the first. Flying was down for a little while, but you know what? People went back to flying after a while. You know why? Because they just had to. By the way, COVID's scary, and COVID's tough. We got to be faithful to church. We got to be faithful to soul winning. We got to be faithful to tithing. We got to be faithful to reading the Bible and studying it. We got to be faithful to prayer. Those are the things that we want to make sure that we do. Because, by the way, those are the things we do that God blesses us for doing. By the way, when God blesses us, we will have some success in 2021. And then when 2021 is over, we'll put that behind us and look forward to 2022. Now, I don't know how many years God still has for each one of us, but I do know this. While we are still alive, we're supposed to do what the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians. You know what that is? Do all to the glory of God. So whatever you do this year, you want to make sure that it glorifies God. If you're doing something that's not glorifying God, stop doing it and do something that glorifies God. That's what we're all under obligation as a child of God to do. Father, thank you for tonight. I pray, Lord, you'd help us to realize 2020 is done. It's behind us. We face some scary, some tough times, some things we didn't understand. And I pray, Lord, you'd help us to realize that during all that, you still was on the throne. You still in control. You hadn't changed. You hadn't fallen asleep. You hadn't forgotten about us. And I pray, Lord, you'd help us to realize that every day. Every day we wake up to realize you're on the throne. You're in control. Lord, I pray that you'd help us that might encourage us. Lord, I pray you'd help us to realize that you are willing to do stuff and you're willing to bless our nation, but it's based on whether we will humble ourselves and pray and seek your face and turn from our wicked way. It's not based on whether the wicked people do right. It's based on whether Christians, folks who should know better, children who are children of the King, act like children of the King. And I pray, Lord, you